Hello, hello! Welcome to How to Be a Changemaker. I am so excited to have you here. If you are an organizational leader and have a deep desire to one, motivate yourself better and to lead yourself with deeper courage, confidence, and conviction, two, empower your employees to be their best, and three, innovate and create a work culture that allows everybody to thrive, you are in the right place. My name is Samantha Clark. I am your host. I'm a happiness consultant and resident change maker here, and I cannot wait to share with you all the gems and amazing goodness in this episode. Take a seat, get ready to enjoy, and tuck in. Hello and welcome to another episode. This week we are talking about how to navigate the great resign. It's been featured a lot in articles in the BBC, Wired magazine, talking about workers all over the world quitting their jobs in record numbers. And it's no surprise, really. We are seeing very interesting times in terms of the social and physical landscape around work. We're now moving back into September, October, where a lot of companies are starting to implement more of their hybrid working schemes, or, you know, maybe in some cases enforcing a full return to work. And so there is this mounting pressure to consider what happens if some of our best talent decides to leave. And fundamentally, this pandemic has brought up so many questions in us around why do we need to work in an office? How can we work more effectively? It has shown that we can be productive at home. Yes, we are balancing lots of issues around boundary management and prioritizing self-care and, you know, creating that division, that healthy division between where work starts and work ends. But on the flip side, a lot of people are really enjoying the reduced costs, the reduced traveling into an office, the stress and the commute. They are seeing kind of an increase in proficiency of tasks and, you know, are really starting to connect. And I think, you know, we also have to look at it from a broader perspective as well. Working from home, remote working has really supported those in the disabled community who are able to get more work now, who are able to work in different ways and really have their needs met. When we think about it from a diversity perspective, I have read so many articles on individuals who no longer have to put up with the microaggressions that they felt in the workplace, or feeling marginalized, feeling siloed from group interactions, and can work at peace at home. There are obviously some downsides to that, where I do think that in a recent Forbes article, there was a discussion on whether or not actually further separation from the office and lack of regular face-to-face communication can mean that some of these marginalized groups are going to feel even more underrepresented and less visible, and there is a potential for further exclusion from promotions and growth in the company. So it's important to really question, you know, how can I as a manager or leader really start to tap into the members on my team who might have one foot out the door, one foot in the company. I mean, it has been stated that people are, you know, quitting jobs on a Friday and landing something and starting back on Monday. And if they have the skills, if they have the ability, there are companies out there who are willing to meet them halfway with their needs. A lot of the tech companies are also suggesting that people can work from home indefinitely, or, you know, only be engaged and coming to the office for maybe collaborative team sessions, maybe once a week. And I think it's important to really question, how do we start to examine some of the reasons why people want to leave? Why are they choosing to resign? What could we be doing to create more happiness at work? And when we look at some stats from Business Insider, this is from February, they said that some of the reasons, the core areas of pain that employees are seeing around work is performance and role. So questioning whether or not this role is helping me become who I want to become. How can I perform better in this job? they're also questioning work relationships. How do I fit into this place? Do I have a voice? Am I able to contribute effectively? What does my interaction or engagement in this team do to boost where we're going with the company? People often want to leave positions. 17% said that for them, it was a case of feeling stuck, no internal mobility. And a big proportion said that stress was a big driver in wanting to pivot from the job. So when I work with change makers, whether that's leaders, managers, individuals who are really supporting employees to think about their career, think about their work happiness differently, I ask them to question whether or not this employee is at a crossroads. Do they feel that actually they are in a place where they're deciding, is this something that I stay in or am I ready to go? How do you kind of really take the time to nurture and question this? Do they feel stunted in their current role or their team? What are you doing to consciously find out how this person feels about their advancement in the company and whether or not the pathway that they're on is a real deep alignment of their strengths and their skills? And do they see, you know, this as a place that they can grow their resilience and grow? Is this somebody who perhaps has had a bit of a setback? So maybe when you think about where your company is and the navigating the changes and the uncertainty, does this person feel stunted? Do they feel like actually due to lack of promotions or lack of pay rises or the fact that maybe your industry has shrunk, do they feel like actually there is no movement for them in that company? And what could you do then to support them to look at different avenues, to how they can build out their existing role, where the potential for growth could come from in different areas beyond money? Or maybe this person just needs more joy on the job. Perhaps they really enjoy working remotely from home because it allows them to create rituals and routines that support their mental, their emotional, and their physical well-being. Are you helping them to craft their job role to really play to their strengths and their passions, to help them find their voice and to grow in presence with their team members and grow those relationships? So I think that's the first thing that's really important, is identifying if there are some people that you feel who might be jumping ship or are thinking about it. Where are they? Are they looking for some sort of liftoff from feeling like they've been set back? Do they want more joy in the job? Or are they at a distinct crossroads in terms of how they're feeling about their job? And I think next it's important to look at what we have defined in our company as 6 work happiness pillars. And we have what's called a Lily toolkit. And this is really about identifying the pillars that are super important, that make pivotal shifts in whether or not somebody is happy and wants to stay in their job. And so again, in your one-to-one catch-ups, in your team catch-ups, really start to assess where are people sitting across these 6 pillars. And so the first one is really thinking about their purpose umbrella. Are we helping our employees to get visible at work and to tell people about what they are achieving personally at an individual goal level and how that fits into the organization? Are we able to share what people's dreams are in terms of the experiences they want to have, how they want to grow, and how they want to create more opportunities for growth within themselves? When it comes to what we call portfolio strands, how is the work, you know, making up or contributing towards their life goals? Do they want to expend more energy in one area of their role? Are there certain tasks and responsibilities that they need extra training in? Do they want to maybe merge opportunities with another team? Do they want to trial new things? Mindset and well-being is the third section. So mind, body, soul, how are they navigating work-life stress and ease? What are they doing to think about avoiding burnout? And how is the role perhaps contributing to more dis-ease in this area? Money magic. This is a topic on many people's mind. You know, is this role actually helping me to support the life that I have? if there are no pay rises or increases? How do we help to build financial well-being of our employees and enable them to manage the money that they are making effectively? I see this as a key area when we're working with lots of Gen Z and millennials, and you know, maybe your company cannot afford to kind of keep increasing money in the way that big tech companies can, but you want to keep them. How do we help them to manage what they're making and to be efficient? People in place, this is a big one. Where do people work? Who are they working with? And how are they communicating? Communication is a key area. And if there are blocks and barriers to people nurturing great relationships, we can't then expect successful teams. So what is getting in the way of great communication? What are the barriers that you could remove as a manager or a leader? And lastly, systems and flow. What do people need to stop, start, or continue to really elevate how they're working to be more productive so they can stay in their zone of genius? And I think really having an important awareness of each of these core pillars, this is something that we teach you in our Changemaker certification, is knowing how to assess and question these, whether or not you're having these one-to-one catch-ups, these quarterly catch-ups with people. Maybe this is also part of your agenda for people who are actively thinking about shifts, or that you think might have their view elsewhere or are distracted. Start to tap into these areas and find out, you know, what's really important to them, and assess what's not working, what is working, where are the possibilities and opportunities for growth. How do they start to evaluate some of the transferable skills that they might have, the gaps that they could bridge with other teams, where they want to grow, what's actually possible in the company, and help them to make real love it or leave it action. And again, keep that momentum once they've started in a pathway. So loving it in a company, what does that look like? Well, to encourage your top talent to really stay and grow, it's about helping them build that stronger confidence in the role. So unearthing what is blocking or being a barrier to that, where they might be suffering from imposter syndrome, which is, you know, making them feel like perhaps this isn't the right position for them. How do you navigate that with them? It's looking at where overwhelm from tech or emails, other kind of platforms are causing them distress or reducing productivity. What ways could they start to look at building stronger relationships, thinking about how you build social intelligence in the teams? And are there ways that perhaps they could bring more of themselves to work? What are they learning outside of work that they could infuse into their current role, or to share, or to weave into a project perhaps? And what opportunities might be for them to build new skills so that it can remain agile and creative within your company? If it has come to the time for people who are thinking, do you know what, there needs to be a shift for me, I'm not entirely happy, how can they perhaps maybe collaborate or cross-pollinate across different departments, maybe piling new projects? Is there a way that they could be bringing in, again, ideas from outside of their job role and weaving that into what they currently do? And if it is time for people to leave, how do we help them leave with grace? How do we support them, give them the tools that they need to find something else, so that we can, you know, find an individual who wants to be in that role and wants to stay? And it supports you if you have somebody who really isn't desiring to stay or wanting to grow. It's important that you do find someone who does want to do that. And so maybe as an individual leaves, it gives way for new talent to emerge, or for you to redesign what that particular role might look like and shapeshift in different ways. So I think if we can get back to the heart of really communicating and understanding and setting an intention, you know, how can I support you if you have had a career setback? What might it look like for us to start to define what success looks like within the parameters of what we're working in? If this person is perhaps, you know, wanting to create better relationships at work, and that's going to bring them more joy in the job, how do we start to think about maybe encouraging them to network differently, or to think about people in the organization they'd love to connect with and why? So that they're starting to feel and build skills around relationships think about what communication could be disrupted in the way that you're working with your teams, the more that you start to try and navigate which pathway somebody's on, the less likely it's going to be a surprise when somebody decides to quit. And I think it's also important to really think about what policies you are endorsing for endorsement's sake. If you can create an opportunity where there is a hybrid process that allows people to connect when they want to connect, to collaborate in rich ways, for there to be that team unity, but also to give people that flexibility to be able to work from home, to be able to implement the work that they want, to be able to support and be with their family, to be in their communities, I think we can reach a beautiful sweet spot. But it does take time, it does take tension, and it does take some energy. And it's important that maybe you put in this energy now versus losing some of your best people later. So really think about what might be some activities I could try out with my team or with one-to-one connections to really look at where we should be focusing to keep hold of our best talents. Where are they in terms of the core pillars that we talked about, in terms of finding their purpose umbrella? Do they know what their goals are? Do they know what their dreams and aspirations are and what experiences they want to have, and how can the company facilitate that? We talked about money magic, what's going on in the financial well-being. If pay rises aren't an option, how do we support people there? Mindset and well-being. So really looking at what are we doing to encourage people to think about a burnout, to show that we really do care about their personal health and their well-being. And this is important because any new joiner in a company is really looking to see, how are you working and living? What's important to you? How are you navigating conflict? What does success look like for people? Do people actually switch off on holidays? All of this plays into mindset and well-being. Thinking about the portfolio strands, what are the elements that make up an individual's job, and where can they stretch themselves more? What do they need to perhaps delegate or learn a new skill to become stronger and more competent in? We talked about people and place. How are they working? Who do they work best with? Who do they want to work with more? What are the barriers to great communication? What can you do to consciously have richer conversations versus superficial ones? And lastly, systems and flow. Understanding what someone could perhaps stop, start, delegate, or automate to become more productive and stay in their zone of genius. When you tackle these core areas and wrap that as well in the location and the setting, you know, we're less likely to have people jumping ship, because it shows that you care, that you want them to stay in the business and you're invested. And they can also express what it is that they are desiring, and perhaps what you think it is, the reason that they are leaving, is not necessarily the case. And it might be that actually with a few tweaks, they could be happier and they could stay. So I hope that's been a really useful episode for you on looking at ways that you can deep dive with your teams or at a one-to-one basis to really connect further with people who might have one foot in the company and one foot out the door looking for other opportunities. I look forward to hearing your comments and your thoughts. Take care, and I will see you soon. Hello, hello. Well, what another fantastic episode. Thank you so much for carving out the time to hang out with us and hear everything that was shared today on our podcast. If you are interested in becoming a change maker and something has piqued your interest and you want to either revamp your own ways of looking at your well-being as you lead a team through change, or maybe you want to create deeper interventions in your company that are going to stick and that people care about actually using, why not join our Changemaker certification? This is our roadmap to helping you go through our three areas of change: becoming a better change maker, empowering and inspiring others to do the same, and amplifying the message that you have created. Check out all the details of our Changemaker certification on loveitleaveit.co, and I cannot wait to get started with you. See you soon for another amazing episode. Bye for now.